If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with comedians Matt Ingebretson and Jake Weissman, who created and star in Comedy Central's new show, Corporate. They also take a few more questions backstage just for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
Well, it looks like media mastermind Donald Trump has pulled off another successful pivot, this time from a conversation about whether he's mentally unstable to a conversation about the fact that he's a racist. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. It says a lot about where we're at as a country that in the last few days it was reported that a porn star was paid to stay quiet about an alleged affair with Trump. And for 38 minutes, people in Hawaii thought they were about to get hit with an incoming missile. And neither of those is the biggest story in the news right now. They've, of course, been overshadowed by the fact that President Trump referred to Haiti, El Salvador, and African nations as shitholes during a meeting on immigration and said he wanted more immigrants from Norway. That's right, Trump wants more immigrants from Norway. Though, frankly, I can't imagine white. Of course, his word choice was what got most of the attention at first, although news anchors weren't quite sure how to handle it.
Parents, if you're watching with children, you might want to mute for the next 35 seconds.
I apologize for using this word here, but this is a quote from the president.
The president said, quote, "Why do we want all these people from, I won't use the word, S-hole countries?"
All these S-hole countries.
S-hole countries.
S-hole countries.
Yeah. Bleep-hole countries.
Bleep-hole countries.
S-blank-hole countries.
Blank-hole countries.
Blank-hole countries.
They would say sinkhole, or whatever the word is that he
it's
actually used.
Sink.
And then what he said about immigrants from countries like Haiti, African countries, that these are, you get the point.
Oh, my God. You managed to flummox Wolf Blitzer. Do you know how hard that is? He's never been emotional in his life. His wedding vows were just, "I'm Wolf Blitzer and you're in the Situation Room." Now, while the comments have been verified by other media outlets and confirmed by senators who were in the room at the time, there's apparently a pointless debate happening over the exact word Trump used.
He used a different, my understanding from the meeting, he used a different but very closely related vulgarity. He said S-house and not S-hole.
Oh, so Trump didn't say hole, he said house. And that's way better. After all, it only takes a little love to make house a home. Also, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which word he used, the racist sentiment is the same. And the fallout from that sentiment has been inescapable for Trump. On Friday, for example, he held an event commemorating Martin Luther King Jr. Day, at which he signed a proclamation and ignored shouted questions from reporters as he left the room.
Mr. President, will you give an apology for the statement yesterday?
Mr. President, did you refer to African nations?
Mr. President, are you a racist?
Another successful Martin Luther King Day in the books for Donald Trump.
It went well. Only one person asked me about being a racist.
Now, Trump has been at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, apparently enjoying a 3-day weekend. And last night, he was asked again if he's a racist, and as usual, he overreached.
No, I'm not a racist. I am the least racist person you have ever interviewed. That I can tell you.
Why do you do that to yourself, man? If you just said, I'm not a racist, maybe you could muddy the waters and people would have to debate it. But when you say, the least racist person, you just set off alarm bells. It's the difference between saying, I'm a tall person and I'm the tallest person on Earth. With one, you go, yeah, pretty tall, I guess. And with the other, you go, oh, he's crazy. Also, let's not forget, this is a line Trump has used many, many times before with little success.
Are you racist?
I am the least racist person that you have ever met.
Right. I'm probably the least racist person on Earth.
Well, I've known you a long time.
I think people know better than that.
Number one, I am the least anti-Semitic person that you've ever seen in your entire life. Number two, racism. The least racist person.
You've been labeled a racist. You've been called a sexist.
Thank you very much.
How do you respond to that?
I am the least racist person you've ever met.
Why can't he just say I'm not a racist? Everything has to be a superlative with him. I'm the least racist. I've done more than any president. This is the longest tie you'll ever see. It's like he thinks there's a trophy for everything. You see that gold jug with the diamonds on it? I got that for least racist. I edged out the Dalai Lama. And yet, despite the fact there are multiple senators from both parties confirming what the president said, there are still a few Trump allies finding new ways to blame everyone but Trump for his racist comments. Take Republican Senator Bill Cassidy, who took issue not with the president's comments themselves, but the fact that they became public.
There's an etiquette. There's an honor in meeting privately and not discussing what was talked about. And while those things may be incendiary, I want to get your take on that.
I totally agree with you. It undermines trust going forward. Whatever was or was not said, if you disagree with what the fellow or gal says, then you disagree with them publicly then. But to go out and kind of report it is going to undermine trust, not just for this issue, but for future issues. It's just a rule of human contact, whether it's a marriage, a friendship, or a political negotiation.
Are you comparing the confidentiality of a marriage to a political negotiation? Because those things are not similar. If my wife said to me, we're spending the weekend at my friend's house, and I said, that hole, she'd definitely tell a few people. And then there was Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who complained not about the president saying something racist, but about people calling him a racist.
The only thing I regret from all of this, other than I think some people in the media have gone completely bonkers with, you know, just ad hominem on the president, but what I regret is I do want to see an immigration compromise.
Right.
And you can't have an immigration compromise if everybody's out there calling the president a racist.
It would also be hard to have an immigration compromise if people kept yelling, there's a coyote in the Oval Office! But what else are you supposed to yell when there's a coyote in the Oval Office? Those are the words for it. Trump's comments also undercut a hollow talking point he and his acolytes like to repeat about their restrictionist immigration ideas, that they just want what they call merit-based immigration.
As a candidate, I campaigned on creating a merit-based immigration system that protects U.S. workers and taxpayers, and that is why we are here today, merit-based.
Who's going to argue with merit-based? Who can argue with merit-based?
Merit-based immigration system, merit. People that will help our country. People that will help our country.
What we are demanding is merit-based immigration.
You want immigration to be merit-based? Your job isn't even merit-based. Your whole life has been the opposite of merit-based. You're a celebrity billionaire despite the fact that you've declared bankruptcy 6 times and you're president despite being wildly unqualified. If you want a merit-based immigration system, fine. But then you should have to go back to whatever bog your family crawled out of and get in the back of the line. Of course, what Trump's private comments reveal is he doesn't actually want a merit-based system at all. He wants a system that takes in more white people and keeps out people of color. That's what he was saying in those comments. It's as clear as ever that Donald Trump is a racist. And on top of that, he's also a
S-hole, bleep-hole,
blank-hole.
This has been a closer look.
Ryan Reese, audience warrant comedian for Late Night with Seth Meyers, here with Ella from Arkansas, who just came from a live taping. We're now officially in 2018. What would you like to see happen in this new year?
I think just continuing like what's kind of started. The Golden Globes really set something into play. I think that the Time's Up movement is really awesome. I think we need to continue the discussion that's being brought up, and I think that's going to continue to happen in a really strong way.
President Trump has been tweeting that he's a genius. What do you make of this?
I guess he and I have different definitions of the word genius. You know, I don't even consider him a sane person. I could think of a million people that I'm related to that would probably make a better mentally fit president. So I don't think he has any mental fitness for that matter.
Who in your family would you like to see as president of the United States?
My mom's a pretty intelligent woman. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Ella.
You're welcome.
Our guests are the stars of the new Comedy Central series Corporate, which premieres January 17th. You can currently stream the first four episodes on Comedy Central's website and app. Please welcome to the show Matt Ingebretson and Jake Wiseman, everybody. So happy to have you here. Congrats on the show. This is a show where you guys work in a soul-crushing corporate environment.
That's right.
Is that accurate?
That is. A show is about how everyone hates their jobs and life is a nightmare.
Yeah, you know how, like, even you have, like, a great life, but you're sad inside?
Every day you wake up and feel dread and confused about why you're doing any of this.
And you have the best possible situation, but still you'd rather do anything else.
Oh, and this is about people with worse situations.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That sounds terrifying.
That's what the show's about. Yeah.
So this is, you guys obviously are young comedians. You get your own show. And now, because you're in a show, now you are actors. You've gone from comedians to actors. Has this been a weird transition for you? Has it sunk in yet that you have your own show?
Sort of. I mean, in terms of being actors, we don't consider ourselves actors. We kind of lucked into it. And the way that you do that is you just tell everyone that you're actors. And eventually people are like, they're actors.
And now we're saying it on a late night TV show. So now it's official.
Yeah, this is like a legal document now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You obviously have a lot of friends who do this kind of thing as well or in comedy. Have you gotten feedback from friends and family on your show yet?
Yeah, one of the earliest pieces of feedback we got was we showed the pilot to a friend of ours who had a terrible corporate job, and she watched it. And then shortly after that, she went and did ayahuasca, which is an intense hallucinogen that involves a shaman. And while on ayahuasca, she hallucinated about our show. And then when she got back, she quit her job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is get people to do drugs, mistake it for a spiritual awakening, and quit their jobs.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. That's going to lead to a lot of job opening for non-drug addicts. I imagine doing a show about the corporate world, there is some fun in corporate language, corporate speak. Is that something that you guys use?
Yeah, I mean, you got to ping me.
Yeah.
Oh, ping. And so that's a thing that people see again, because I wear a suit and a tie, but we're not a real corporate environment. Nobody gets pinged.
Yeah. My biggest nightmare in any office situation is being asked what I'm doing this weekend. Or I find myself asking people what they're doing this weekend, and I've never cared about the answer at all.
Yeah. It's like a weird thing. Like, if I ask that question, I immediately shut off, and that's when I rest.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Like, if you ask me that question, watch what happens.
Hey, so what are you doing this weekend?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And you don't care. So.
Yeah. And you've had, obviously, you guys have not worked in the corporate world so much. Well, which one of you worked for a chandelier?
I did.
Okay.
I worked for a chandelier.
Not a chandelier, a chandelier company.
I worked for a chandelier, Mr. Chandelier. Easy job. I worked for a chandelier store, which was a nightmare, but I did learn what a sconce was.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know if everyone knows what a sconce is. I know that you're rich enough to know what it is.
We just got our first sconce.
Wow. Congratulations.
Just one. Usually you get them in pairs, but we're moving a little slow.
Yeah. Well, congrats on knowing what a sconce is. Chandelier store is a different kind of nightmare because only rich people can afford chandeliers. So rich people would come in all the time and spend lots of money and feel nothing. And so I could see even best case scenario, I'm not going to feel that good.
Yeah. Right. You're never there when someone's buying their first chandelier.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And then you, what were your previous?
I did work in some corporate jobs. I worked for a major entertainment company once. That was a terrible job.
That sounds like a lie.
Yeah.
Just the way you said that. I work for a major entertainment company.
It's major, Seth.
But I get that you can't say. So anyway.
I was my boss's only employee, and so she micromanaged me with such intensity that it felt like she was performing psychological experiments on me.
Yeah.
She would do this thing where if I made a mistake, like if I used the wrong font in a presentation or something, she would call me into her office and ask me, why did you use the wrong font? Which is a really hard question to answer. And I eventually just told her to hurt you. I wanted to cause you pain. That's why I chose the wrong font.
You used the font as a weapon.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Well, congratulations, guys. It's really exciting that your show's finally out, and I can't wait to watch more of it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Seth.
For being Give it up for Matt Ingebrigtsen and Dave Wise and Ebony Corcoran. Premieres January 17th on Comedy Central.
Hey, this is Ross from Late Night's digital team. I'm here with Matt Ingebrigtsen and Jake Wiseman.
Hey.
So I normally help produce the podcast. I've never appeared on it before, but I decided to make a special exception because Matt, Mr. Ingebrigtsen here, is an old buddy of mine from college.
We went to college together. Ross hired me at the university humor magazine that we wrote for.
This is very true, that we both ended up editing.
That's right.
So that was probably the first time that you were like managing people in any real sense, right?
Yeah, it was. It was like a miracle experience to have because it is like a mini version of running... Not a TV show necessarily, but like managing a creative team of people.
Right. And also I think that you and I had a thing in common where we were like 20, but thought that it was the most important thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. We had total bloated senses of self. And like, we also, I remember around that time, we were like, nothing unfunny makes it in. I don't give a shit. If somebody's not funny, them. They can go do something else with their lives. Yeah.
Yeah. how did that, like, I know that you were a lot younger, but how did that compare to the experience of making this show?
Those principles are good ones to hold on to, where it's like being brutal on yourself and never feeling satisfied with what you've done is a great way to make something better than it should be.
Jake, did you pull on any previous jobs or experiences that you had before making this show in terms of managing people or delegating or anything like that?
Not necessarily jobs, but just a crushing sadness that I feel every waking moment.
It's deeply important.
Yeah, and I assume that everyone feels that way. And so I just, you know, think about a job and how I would feel at any job and then write about that.
You're not always correct, though, that everyone feels that
way. I'm always correct. You're sad. Ross, you're sad. Seth Meyers is sad. Yeah. There's no question about it.
As soon as you leave the room, we're just going to talk about how right you are, how sad we all are at every moment of the day. Yeah. So you just did your first talk show. How do you feel?
I feel like I've never done cocaine, but I imagine that this is what cocaine feels like. I understand why people chase this feeling and why it ruins people's lives because it's very exciting.
My dad got to see it. He got to see the live taping, and I think that most sons are just trying to get their dads to say they're proud of them. So I nailed that today, and
so
that's all
I
really wanted.
You can just pack it all up.
Yeah, he's like, I'm proud of you, and I was like, well, you can die. I can die. Anyone can die now.
But your dad is brutally honest, and if you had done a bad job, he would have said, "I'm disappointed in you."
Yeah. But he was proud, and that's really everything. So,
great. Yeah. Was it a different experience in any way than what you anticipated?
I didn't really know exactly what to expect. It definitely felt, Seth is very nice and like smiley, so I felt comfortable. But it was definitely like a pressurized situation where it's like, I better say all the right things right now.
I felt when I started doing stand-up, where you're like, oh, I don't get a second chance at this. I have to do this performance right now and I have to live with whatever I'm saying. When you film something, you get a bunch of takes and you can screw up and it's fine because you can edit it. But this is like whatever you say is whatever lives. So you have to just be okay with that, which is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I would imagine that you have to balance promoting the thing that you want people to watch, which one more time, when and where can people watch it?
Corporate, Wednesdays at 10 p.m. starting January 17th. And also on the Comedy Central app, there are 4 episodes available right now.
Right. So you have to balance that with, you know, introducing people who probably don't know who you are to an audience for the first time.
That's right. It's like, hi, we're 2 American males and you should like us because look at how big we're smiling
right now. We're tall. We're smiling. We're trying to make you laugh. Yeah. Love us. Yeah, it's a weird situation.
Well, that's great. I've seen a few episodes of the show, and I love it, and I strongly recommend to our podcast listeners that they check it out as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here, and you guys did a great job. I hope you come back soon.
Thanks so much.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Once upon a beat! Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. Once Upon a Beat.